So Avosai, we were learning till now in Hilchos Rechilus, our limud of Chofetz Chaim is a schus refuah for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Hishtav Refuah Shleim, B'Besor Shachayli Yisrael B'Korev. So we were learning about warning people about coming to harm. So we're speaking in general about a shutfus, about a shidduch, something that's long term. And we said there were five conditions. Number one, weigh it up carefully. Number two, whatever you tell has to be accurate. Number three, you have to mean l'toyeles. Number four, there's no other alternative other than tell rechilos. And number five is that you have to only interfere before things are finalized. After they're finalized, it's too late. You don't ruin things. Then the Chofetz Chaim says, so till now we've been discussing cases where you're planning to go into a long-term arrangement with somebody. To make a shidduch, to go into business, something like that. It's a long-term arrangement. He says, what happens about a one-off thing? For instance, you hear that Reuven has sworn that he's going to murder Shimon. Yeah? So he says as follows. He says, first of all, people use that expression quite often. They say, I'm going to murder him. Or I'll kill him. I heard what he did. I heard that he did this to me, or something like that. I plan to kill him. Yeah. So he says that obviously, when you hear that, you've got to weigh up quite clearly whether or not this is a person who's serious about what he's planning to do. But if he is planning to do, then loisam al dadam reichel kicks in, and then you have to warn the person that he's going to come to harm. So he says as follows: providing it's a one-time threat. Yeah, that this person is going to cause some harm, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's to his family, to his business. He says, I'm going to cause a particular. So I have heard, yeah, Reuven has heard that Levi plans to do damage to Shimon. So therefore, Reuven wants to warn Shimon. Says the Chofetz Chaim, but there are conditions. Number one, he says, you have to really believe that Reuven plans to carry out, that Levi plans to carry out this thing. When he makes his threats, is he the sort of person who just makes empty threats, or is somebody who actually normally carries out such threats, and therefore there is a likelihood that Shimon will come to harm? That's number one. And the second one, he says, the second condition is, he says that you have to try and speak to him first. Go over or make contact with Levi and try and discourage him from causing the harm to Shimon. Yeah, either you warn him and you threaten him, if that's the right way to get through to him, or you speak to him nicely, or you bribe him, or whatever it is. You have to work out whether it's possible. If you've worked out that it's not possible, either you've tried, or you know the character of Levi, and you know he's not going to listen to you, and he's not going to listen to you, he's not going to pay any attention, and he will still carry out his threat. Says the Chofetz Chaim, then you have taka, you have the chiyuv to tell. If you can get away without telling, then obviously you haven't spoken rechilas, you've got a mitzvah of teichocha, you've got havoah shalom. If it works to speak to the person who's threatening the harm, then fine. But if it doesn't work, then you have loisam al adam reichel kicks in, and you have a chiyuv to warn the person that he is at risk of coming to harm, and he should take protection to look after himself and to make sure that he doesn't come to harm from the person who's threatening him. So we're in Northwest London, Monday. Chofzayin Teves, 27th of January, Rav Yosef Yitzchak Lerner Shlita, on the subject of Baal Tashchis. Looking. This week's Torah Ways will be sponsored by Family Morgan, the Choytzin Chasin Isurin of Daniel Krauss with Razi Morgan. The Chasin was yesterday. There should be Zoycha to build it by its name on B Yisrael.
The Chasin Daniel Krauss is not just the one who's sponsoring the Shir, but the reason I'm here and out of Yerushalayim is because I came for his Chasin. So I'm a Barber Rav Dechad Yoyma, and I'm here for Mamash 28 hours, and I will give a shir on the subject of Baal Tashchis, and then we go back. So I understand that the way it works over here is I once gave a shir here is that Asher Yesh Nepoyim, there's some people here, and there's some people that are not here, but they hear it. So Baruch Hashem, it is a schus, and we know that Odom Lo'omo Yulet Shlomo Melech said, L'omol says the Marsha in Sanhedrin Daf Tzadik Tes, L'omol's Rosh HaTevis, L'ulim B'remanas Alamin. That's our tailless and our tachlis this world, to learn and to teach other people. We're going to talk right now about a subject that's not that well known, and the subject is Baltashkes. Baltashkes, one of the reasons it's not known is because there's no siman on the Shulchan Aruch. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, the Chofetz Chaim writes in his Akdoma that among the different reasons the Yetzer Hara tells a person, don't worry about Lashon Hara. One of them is, there's no din in the Shulchan Aruch. There's no sim in the Shulchan Aruch. Now there is, in the Mogen Avraham, Sim Kufnun Aleph, there is a whole arichas of different dinam about Midas, about Kas, about Gaivi. He talks about Lashon Hara also. But there is no special simon. We don't know why the Shulchan, at least I don't know, why the Shulchan Aruch did not write simon on such a subject. There is a Sefer of Shai Pik, Sefer not so well known, it's called Omer Shikha. He actually goes Gemara, Gemara, and he says, I don't know why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention the subject. Some of them he gives a teretz, some of them he doesn't. Some of them he finds Rishayim, some of them he doesn't know why. But we don't know. It could be the Shulchan Aruch. I think he was 84 and he was Nifter. He just never got to make a fifth chayat of the Shulchan Aruch. Or it could be that he decided certainly has our priorities. But obviously, if something is an assay or a lois assay and it's in the Torah, it's not going to make any difference with the Shulchan Aruch or not. It'll be easier to give a guy Musa when he's going to the Shulchan Aruch, but halachically, there's no difference. Now, Baltashkes is not brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, and you have very interesting shailas which people don't know how to deal with, they just decide on their own. Let's take a common shaila. I'm coming right now from Yerushalayim, and I'm going back right now to Yerushalayim, Yetz Hashem, today. A person has a deer in Yerushalayim. Now, he's not going to be there for Pesach, so he knows that he has crackers and cookies in the deer, and he wants to get rid of those crackers and cookies. So, on the one hand, he wants to make the mitzvah. He wants to make sure he's not going to be over, but he shouldn't have chometz in his house. He wants to get rid of it. And on the other hand, what's the baltashkes? Right now, there's no isra on chometz. Can he throw out that chometz? This is a shy which people, they don't think twice. They just do it. They think they're doing a mitzvah. Now, as a rule, let's start from what do we know about baltashkes? So, Torah says, L'tashkes es ha'etzan, l'ndoyechol v'sagarzan, k'nimenu toichol. Now, we learn that from over there. In the Gemara, there's a loisisa, you shouldn't cut down the tree, and there's an asay, you should keep the tree and eat from that tree. Now, we know, everybody agrees that if you cut down a tree that has fruits, you're being over the raisa, you're actually being over a loisisa, an asay. What about if I throw out other things? I decide to take a shtender, or a chair, or a table, I decide to throw it out the window, or to burn it. Am I over baltashkes or not? So that's a big machlokes rishonim. Most of the rishonim hold that it's an iser de raisa, and the Torah gave an example of a tree, but it's anything. Other Rishayim say no. A tree is a deraisa. Everything else is only drabonon. Most of the Rishayim hold that it's also deraisa. The smag and the smak, Rabbi Yeruchim, Shulchan Aruch Rav brings it down. The Rambam, there seems to be a stira. The Rambam is sefer mitzvahs, learns it's deraisa. On the other hand, in the Yad, the Rambam's mash is only drabonon. There's also a sefri that says that if you take a fruit, you throw it out the window, or you burn it, or you throw it in the garbage, or whatever, that you're also being over deraisa. He ties in the sefri that it's a kalvachomer from an eitz, from an ilon. If you throw out the tree, because potentially you can have a fruit, it's deraisa. So certainly, if you throw out the fruit itself. But again, we don't have a shulchan of the pask on that, so I'm just mentioning the various days that we have. Now, what about if you're doing something with tzerech mitzvah? So the klal is, if you're doing something with tzerech mitzvah, it's not a baltashkes. Example is going to be, a person has to do kriya because Nebuchadnezzar's father died. He's ripping up a beged. He's not doing baltashkes, because the fact is, the Torah said, we have to do it. The Tribune Rav writes in Shazachut Dev Misharm that it's also Negea Drabonon. If there's a mitzvah Drabonon, there's no baltashkes. He brings a raya, there's a din in Erchaim Shin Yud Ches. If a person cooks on Shabbos, he can't eat that food. If you plant a tree, Mishabur is going to bring down, so then you have to rip out the whole tree, because otherwise you're having enough from that tree. How are you allowed to rip out the tree? The whole din is only Drabonon, it's a knas. Teretz is, because once Chazal meets such a knas, there's no baltashkes. In Sefer Chassidim, it comes out that even if you do a hider mitzvah, there's also no problem about tashkes. Because Sefer Chassidim brings down, let's say I have a Sefer Torah. I want to change the daf because I can get a Sefer to make it nicer. Now, the daf that I have right now is not possible, but I can get a nicer daf. It says you're allowed to do lechatchila. So it's a raya that there's no baltashkes even for a hider mitzvah. Now, even though it's a double poshet, when you do a mitzvah, you're not being a baltashkes, but the Marsham writes in one of his mafteches, the Chela Gimel, the Tshuvas, he has some interesting ideas every year while he was making the mafteich. He had interesting ideas that he stuck in the middle. He brings down, Chayitz Mashmai, even a Dvar Mitzvah, if there's a way of getting around it and not destroying it, there's still Baltashkes. Why? Because there is a famous Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Vayakel, which says like this, that the Rebbe Hashem told us to bring Atzishitim, and we make the Mishkan out of cedar wood. So the Medrash says, the Rebbeinu Shem owns everything. Kol ha'etz, kol ha'kesef, kol ha'zer, any bones of Rebbeinu Shem. Why did Rebbeinu Shem take cedar wood? Why can't take other fruit trees? The Torah says the Rebbeinu Shem wanted lim the Torah derech eretz, the Medrash says. The Torah is teaching it derech eretz, that when there's a possibility of not doing baltashkas, of not cutting down a fruit tree, take a cedar wood. The Rebbeinu Shem is a vater, the Rebbeinu Shem could have made a mitzvah that you have to do it. The Torah says, we see from over here, even a dvar mitzvah, the Torah is telling you, try to avoid doing baltashkas if you can. If you can't, you're allowed to do it. But if there's a way of avoiding it, you should. Now, the emes is, if a person has a tzairich to do something, it's not baltashkas. And this we find even by baltashkas deraisa. What's the case we said before of baltashkas deraisa? When you're cutting down a tree. Cutting down a tree, not only is it deraisa baltashkas, but the Gemara brings down, Baba Kamed Af Tzadik Alf, that Rav Acha said that his son Shifchus was nifter because he cut down a tree. So from here we see that besides the fact that there's a mitzvah sase and a loisa sase in cutting down a tree, there's also a sakona. The Gemara doesn't say what the sakona is, but Chazal understood that. Now we know today, we have the tzavo of Yehuda Chosid. It also brings down that you should not cut down a tree. We know from the Poiskim that Yehuda Chosid, a lot of things he writes we don't understand. And the reason is because of sakona. He understood, Barev Chachmosin, Kabbalah, whatever, that there's a sakona. Some people don't know much about Tzavos V'Yehuda Chosid, but just for starters, I'm here for a chasna, and the chosna not once asked me this question. He's being read this shidduch, but his mother's name, let's say, is Rochel, and the girl's name is Rochel. Everybody knows about that. That's brought down the kids of Shulchan, the Chalmasod, and Ramayish. They'll bring it down. That's from Tzavos V'Yehuda Chosid. Otherwise, we wouldn't know about it. There's some other things that are not so well known. Closing up a window, closing up a door, there's things that are not so well known. Taking haircuts from Shchedesh. In the Tzavos V'Yehuda Chosid, it says that you should not cut down a fruit tree. Now, in some of the cases, we have big questions of Yehuda Chosid. Why did he ask her marrying your niece, your sister's daughter, when the Gemara says that it's the best shidduch he can make? It seems to be mamash going against Chazal. So the Yehuda wants to give a teretz. He only wrote it for his descendants. He realized for his descendants not good. There's a different teretzim. Here, the question by fruit tree is the exact opposite. Why did Yehuda Chosid find it fit to make it tzavo and not to cut down a fruit tree when it's ish deraisa? It's like I'm telling you, by the way, I'm giving you, being machadish something, don't steal. I'm being machadish, don't kill. The Torah says it. What's it being moisif? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden Yaivitz writes, it seems that the kavon of Yehuda Chosid, when he wrote this tzavo, he's trying to tell us that even in the oifanim, where it's mutter to do something, as far as the iser, as far as the halacha, there still is a sakona. So we go to the inyan of cutting down a tree. There's a taz in Yer Dekuv Tazayin. The Taz says that if you want to cut down a tree, which is the Issa Deraisa, if it's a Mokum Tzairach, you're allowed to do it. So Moshe, I want to extend my building. And there's a fruit tree growing in the back. Taz says, you're allowed to do it. There's no problem. And says the Yavitz. But on the other hand, since it's a Tzavo for Yehuda Chosid, you should think twice. If you can avoid it, don't do it. If somebody does it, we're not going to stop. A Pialok is okay. But as far as the Tzavo, there is a Sakona. And therefore, these things, it's Kedai to ask a Rov. Agav, the Darki Chui brings down here a Mesiris, that there's three shaylas that he never wanted to pass. Whenever he got these shaylas, he passed it on to somebody else. One of them is cutting down a tree. Because cutting down a tree, there's what's mutter al pi alocha, and then you have the sakona, and that's already the chosid. And it's mashav from over there also. It's a sakona for the poisik to matter something like that, to matter cutting down a tree. So you get into this certain problem over here. We don't have a shulchan aruch on baltashkas. And here we have an issur d'oraisa, and we have a gemara tanis the sakona, and Yehuda Chosid is adding a bigger sakona. We don't know if he's adding a more or less. It's a big shayla. So you should always avoid those shaylas. Vania Kotten, since I have a sefer which talks also about cutting down trees, I very often get the shaylas. What I usually do is I tell the guy the different days, and tell him, speak it over to your rov. Okay, so the guy will say, you're my rov. I says, not for this one. I'm giving you the ideas. Maybe your rov doesn't know these things, tell him different things, let him pass him. So it is a shayla, and it's kedai before a person does something like that, you should think twice. Now, we also know there are also other interesting ideas on Baltasha, and everything you have to block it all over, because again, like I said, there's no Simmer Shulchan Aruch. The Ben Ish Chai writes in Torah Lishma that if a person's wife dresses not Sneezdik, he's allowed to take her clothes and burn it. Destroy her clothes, throw it in the garbage can. It's not Baltashas. You're doing it for a mitzvah. In other words, just like for a mitzvah say, here it's for mitzvah's lois say. Now, it could be if you do that and you burn your wife's clothes, you might be doing Baltashas and you're showing bias also. That could be. I wouldn't recommend it. You should think twice before you do that. But halachically, you're allowed to do that. And there is no Isser of destroying something if it's the same mitzvah. You gotta know how. I once saw an Avdi Nezer where he brings down, it's a question again, Moshele Mashgich in Yeshiva. He found by a bocher's bed under his mattress, he found a dirty magazine, pictures you shouldn't see, maybe a telephone they asked her, different things which a bocher should not have. Pidin, you're allowed to take it, throw in the garbage can. In Eretz Yisrael, they ask for a lot of telephones, cell phones, which over here there's different shittas, whatever, I'm not going to get into that. But the question is, if you take, can you take someone's telephone and throw it out the window? It's a nice machoikis. Some place can say, yeah, like the Avnezer. Since there's the Inyev Biarta Romi Kirbecha, I'm doing a mitzvah. Other places can say no. After all said and done, that telephone has a financial value. You could sell it to a goy. There's no shortage of Jews that'll take it also. I'm just saying, there are ways you could halachically sell to a goy, and therefore it has a certain shavis, it has a financial value. So before you go throwing out your wife's clothes or burning someone else's telephones, you should consult a Rav and hope that he knows these dinim, because there are different consequences in case you do it, even though it might be right up your halacha, but if you're going to kill your shalom bias over it or get into a din ter with somebody because he threw out his $2,000 telephone, then you should think twice before you do it. Again?
Surely the Bocher agrees because he's gone to that yeshiva where they have this.
I would guess that the Bocher that hid the cell phone or the dirty magazine under his mattress did not want the Mashgiach to burn it. Otherwise, he would have gotten rid of it and wouldn't have burned his mattress. So, and if he might not go with his Mashgiach to Din Torah, but if he's going to be thrown at the yeshiva, hang the telephone, and then he will go to Din Torah, the Mashgiach might have a problem. He might have to pay him the financial value of that telephone. So it's not so simple. The show was asking, and the Bocher certainly agrees to what the person, it's not so simple. He totally got caught, he didn't agree. So you have to think about it. It's not so posh. Also, it should be pointed out, the Gemara says that Baltashchis, Gemara Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem, Baltashchis de Gufa Odif. If something's going to harm you medically or physically, we have a doctor here right now, then you're not supposed to eat it. My father, Zecharin Lavrocha, was a Holocaust survivor, and he was Hungarian. He used to always tell us, whatever's on the plate, you have to finish. That's the chinuch I got. You finish what's on the plate, if not, it's baltashchis. So we used to make fun of him. He's Hungarian, he's cheap, whatever. But he used to tell us, it's not because I'm Hungarian, it's because I'm a survivor, and there were days I wanted an apple or potato, I had nothing. So therefore, I realized you can't throw out food. And therefore, he made us eat it. That was the chinuch I got. But Mechilas Koyt Toros HaRom, he's talking about Bikta Machoch and Choshvid. Halachically, it's not correct. And I don't teach that to my kids, because baltashchis to Gufa Odif. If I am stuffed, or I can't put any more, or this is not healthy for me to eat because I should be eating less, I should be on a diet, my blood pressure, whatever the reason is, you know, I'm going to eat it. And if afterwards it's not good, I wouldn't throw it in the garbage right away. But usually Rav Yasher held a food, once it was eaten by somebody, there's not a problem about tashas. Because no one's going to eat that food, there's no shavis. Once I put it, I ate from that plate, no one's going to eat it. So there's no problem about tashas. Even bread, where it's brought down, that it's kosher lanias to throw out bread, so it's brought down. Certainly if the bread is stale, for sure there's no problem about tashlis. But sometimes it's very hard to know. Like, I'm not going to eat this bread anymore. My kids are not going to touch the bread unless it's fresh bread. Right? Today's door, the luxuries, all different luxuries, they want fresh bread. But there's other people, they're very, very happy to take that bread. So if you want to be firm about it, you can put it outside. And there, your shalim, you can put it next to the garbage can, in the bag, whatever. People will take it. There's definitely kaidim. And if you can't, or maybe over here you can't do that, you can put it in a bag and put it in the garbage can. This eitz is brought down by the kids of Shulchan Aruch. I heard it from Rabbi Yashiv. You can do that. You can put it in the garbage can. Instead, what some people do is, in Yerushalayim, B'nai Brak, I've seen this, they put it in a bag, and they hang it on the side of the garbage can, because they're afraid to put it in. But they're wrong. Because you put it in the garbage can, the bag, it's mutter. You put it outside, there's a Gemara that says, himself and the Afkofiu, that if you hang bread, it's kosher, lanias. So what you're doing is a silly thing to do. And people think they're being wrong. So sometimes it's kedai to learn halacha before you go with your own ideas. Okay, so now, let's go on to another question. Let's see if something which is a chumrah. Is there a problem about tashas or not? What do I mean? I'll give you an example. We're talking about the shayla we start off with on Pesach. Can you burn the chometz a few months before Pesach? Because you want to get rid of it. Let's say it's really not chometz. Let's say it's something which is a teruvah, which is really mutter. I want to be machmer. Or the standard question. A lot of people are machmer not to sell chometz. And in a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael don't want to sell chometz gomer, which by the way has no makor whatsoever. There is a makor of not to sell chometz. The goyin held that the mechira is not a good mechira. People don't do belev shalom. And if you tell a guy in the middle that the guy doesn't want to give back the chometz, he's going to go berserk. What do you mean? I gave it to you only because I want it back. There are a lot of people. What's that? Everything's paid for. But the question is, when he paid for it, he knew in advance that you're going to buy it back afterwards. The guy that gave it to him, sold it to him, what would you do if afterwards the guy came and he walked off with it? Or he drank all your whiskey? What would you do then?
He has to pay for it.
Huh?
He has to pay.
He'll pay $10 back. Usually gives $10, he gets it. He's asking to get paid for it. Usually it's done for a few bucks. Rabbi Belsky. Okay, but everybody knows there's all different ways of making mechiras chometz. Rabbi Belsky is a chernovach in America. What he used to do was he actually went and some of the people's chametz, which he sold, he made sure the guy took it. He wanted people to realize that's a real mechira, that if the guy decides to eat it, it's his. And if you say afterwards, no, I didn't mean that, I want it back, that's Igloy Muslim Afreya, your mechira is not a mechira. He had a maisa in Yerushalayim a few years ago, Rabbi Simcha Rabinovich, the one who wrote the sefer Piskei Tshuvos. Now, he has a big shul in Ramat Shlomo, in Yerushalayim, and it seems that he used to have all the people bring the chometz to a certain room in the shul, and this way they knew this is what they're selling. Came along a goy, and he walked off with it. And a lot of people were furious at the Rav. What do you do? What kind of rabbi are you? You sold our chometz, now we can't get it back? We only sold it to get it back. When a person does that, it shows the whole mechira is worthless. So it's a big problem, but in any event, I want to be machmer not to sell any chometz gomer. So I'm going to burn the chometz. Are you allowed to do that? If I'll be din, you can make a mechira, and you're getting rid of it. Maybe that's a question of baltashas. Remember, baltashas is a question of deraisa. I once asked Rav Shlomo Zalman Neuerbach a question like this. The question was that the goyin says they were makpar and gilui. Gilui means to say if you left over a bottle or a cup of mashke of drink overnight, so we say that it's also a drink. It's a gemara because the snakes can get into it. If you look in Shulchan Aruch near Deisim Kufta Zayin and the Mishnah Berurah means that also a few places today we're makel b'dievid on gilui because we don't have snakes running around. Dafka is a pre-chodesh that says Eretz Yisrael is different, but I've been living in Eretz Yisrael almost 49 years. I never saw any snakes running around on the kitchen table, but and maybe there are some in the gardens. But in any event, the goyin was machmer even by the Evid on gilui. You have to spell it out. We pass in the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch, they were not machmer on gilui by the Evid, unless it's a Dvar Mitzvah. For Kiddush, for Avdola, that you can't use wine that's Megula. But if it's for anything else, you can drink it. I asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, what does it mean the goyin was machmer on gilui? What does it mean Chazesh was machmer? By being machmer, you're throwing it out. Throwing it out is a question of the race. If Alpidin is really mutter, that's only chumra, that's a machmer, that's a chumra dasa deikula. So Rav Shlomo Zalman answered to me as follows. He told me that any time you do something for constructive purpose, it needs to be yetsa one das echidah. It can be one day against everybody. Like the day that says they're still good today. That's not baltashas. You did it for constructive purpose. Any time you did a certain thing, you burnt your chometz, or you got rid of something which is a problem of gilui, because you wanted to be yetsa one sheet in the paiskim, that according to one, even though we don't pass like that sheet, we pass like Shulchan Aruch gilui's mutter. But I wanted to be yetsa the sheet as a gro, that's not baltashas. I heard this from Shlomo Zalman, and I saw afterwards the Mishmer Shlomo Kaidnever says something very similar. I think that the Chazon Ish didn't hold like that, because the Chazon Ish, when he found things that were open, like a lemon or cheese or milk that was open, he wouldn't throw it out. He would give it to some Cheder Yingluch, because they're not going to be Makbar or Yisayimim, and he would let them eat it. He seemed to have held, they don't just throw it out, because Mekir Adin is really Mutter. Now, I saw this also, this question, in the Sefer Shaz Yeshuvas of Arkasta Danya, that he brings down. People take food that was in a bathroom and they throw it out. Because everybody assumes that food was in a bathroom you have to throw out. So he says, you looked in the place, can make it, then it's not osir. So maybe it's a question about tashlis. And I'll just mention over here that it is a very interesting thing. Everybody assumes that food that was in the bathroom has to be thrown out. Where does that come from? It's not in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the Ramah, it's not in the Mishnah Berurah. No such thing. I believe that the place where people get it from, there's a sefer which is very, people, a lot of people have it. It's called Tamim and Hugim. Tamei Menhogim brings down B'Shem a Sefer Divrei Yitzchak, which no one ever heard of, say from the Sevalka Rav like 150 years ago. He brings down that I heard B'Shem of Shom Belzer, the Sar Sholem, that he held that food in the bathroom, even if it was Kli B'Toy Kli, you have to throw it out. And even though people never heard the Sefer Divrei Yitzchak, and most people are not Belzers, but a lot of people have the Sefer of the Tamei Menhogim. And there became accepted in Klai Yisrael, food in the bathroom has to be thrown out. People call up. It was Kli B'Toch Kli. It was there for a second. I took it out. I didn't see it was an accident. Let's have some rubber. It has no makor. And recently, I have a sefer, which I just saw before in the Beis Medrash, Shmir Zagufa Nefesh, which I was zeicha, Baruch Hashem, last week in Yerushalayim, I reprinted after 36 years, and I added on a lot of information to the sefer, a few hundred pages. And Lemaisa, I brought down an interesting idea, which I might be starting up with the Belzers on this one, but I have no problem saying Barabim also. There is a very chashev yid in Belz. He was a dayan by them. He was nifter a few months ago. His name was Aaron Mordechai Rutner. Tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was nifter, I think he was 96. They put out a kuntres from him because he was a mashamish by Rabbi Aaron Belzer. Rabbi Aaron Belzer, whether you're chassidish or litvish or svardi, everybody was scared of Aaron Belzer. He was kodesh gadoshim. And he brought down the sefer called a kuntres, Vayas Kein Aharon. They wrote down things that he saw there. So he says he believes the whole story that the Belzer wrote, the original Belzer of the Sar Shom, asked food in the bathroom. He says he thinks it's Baba Mises. He says the person who writes it was Chashidi, but he didn't say he heard it from him. Shemati, somebody said B'Shem. He says, I was by Baron Belzer. I was the Shabbos who brought in the fish Rashal Shudas. Rabbi Aaron Belzer, who had every chumra in the book, a Muslim we don't understand, he kept in his bathroom fish and beer. Can't be. If his grandfather held its usher, then it wouldn't be that he would go against his grandfather's will. He had every chumr in the book, and that we didn't have. So he says the whole thing is above Maisa. So I asked this to Shammai Gross, who's from the Poiskim Tarim Bells. He writes the Shaz and Shuvas, Shevet HaKossi, and he passed recently Baram. He has a pamphlet that comes out every week. I believe you have it in London also. Olam Metrufa. He has their paskins every week. From Bells, yeah. He brings down, but he's an accepted Poiskim. He actually used to stand up for him. Big Tam Chochem. He brings down over there, they ask the question about Shem and Zayas. If you had it in the bathroom, can you use it or not? And he says, if it's Shem and Lamor, which means it's made only to light, it's bitter, it's not edible, no problem. But if it's something which is Shem and Zayas that people eat, and recently a lot of people started using that because the Yashu came up with the Chumar right before his Nifter, that you should use only Shem and Zayas that's edible for Chanukah Licht. So he says, then you got a problem because Kiyadua, food that was in the bathroom, was not food, it's Posel Achila. So therefore he says he can't use it. I called him up, I said, you know, I'm Dana Rabbeinu, what's the problem with food that was in the bathroom? He says, don't you know? So I says, yeah, I know, it's not true. So I told him, it says in this country, so Aaron Belzer kept his fish. He says, Lav Barmer of Ashli Kachosimle, which means like, who says that that's really what Rabbi Mordechai Rutner wrote? Somebody wrote his name. So he said, the man's alive, let's go down to him. So I happen to have a gemach in Yerushalayim. It's right across the street from my gemach, Rabbi Mordechai Rutner. I found that you can speak to him, he's with it. He gets a little bit nervous and people walk into him, but he's 100% lucid. You talk to him. I went into him. He says, no one's going to argue with me that I was the Shabbos there 6 years. No one's going to argue with me that I'm a Talmud Chochem, that I know I was the Poitzik there all these years. I'm telling you, he had over there fish and beer in the bathroom. He says, whoever says not like that can come and argue that with me. I told this to the Bell. The Bellsers don't accept it. When the whole Kli Yisrael picked up the minig, it's pushing not true. I looked around, I found, what?
It was live fish, maybe, had it in the bath.
It was not live fish, I asked, they tried saying that also. I wasn't there.
Live fish and dead fish are two different things.
I agree with you on that one. Live fish and dead fish are two different things, but he had over there dead fish, and they took them on Shabbos. No one was ever killing the fish on Shabbos. They were dead fish, and the beer was dead beer, it was live beer.
I think when the roof says bathroom, you mean what we call the toilet.
So before we get into what's bathroom, what's toilet, I don't know what the din is. I asked him that question too. Because when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, the bathroom was divided into two. One was where the bathroom was, and the other one the toilet. So I asked him, we're talking about 60 years ago in Tel Aviv, what was in that deer? What do they have in that apartment? Was the toilet together with the bathroom or not? He says, look, you see this bathroom over here? We have the bathroom and the toilet together. That's exactly what he had. He says, we have pictures of it. There's no secrets. It was together. There was a toilet over there. And he definitely held you allowed to keep it there. And he says, every week I brought him from the bathroom, I brought him the fish. And he didn't bring a live fish. Even though you're allowed to eat live fish, there's no answer on that.
What was the meaning to keep it in the bathroom? Definitely.
When you have a very small house, then you find wherever you can store, you put it. I always tell people that I'm a big veer. What's a big veer? So the Gemara says, Eza Osher Smech Bechelke. I'm not so rich financially, but I'm Smech Bechelke. Baruch Hashem, I'm able to live in Eretz Yisrael. Teach and have church time. My kids are. I'm very thrilled. And mostly it's another shita. It says in Shabbos Daf Chafei, Eza Osher Yeshu Beis Kisa is Samach LaShulchanai. Since I have a small deer, and my Beis Kisa is very close to my table, so it makes me a gvir. So we say they're saying probably a smaller deer, Baron Belzer, and he had a very small place, and that's where he kept the fish and the beer. And that's a fact. I mean, you can't argue this person. He was nifter a few months ago, but he wrote it down. And I tell you, I heard him be peeve. So the whole world, I'm not going to change the world until everybody keeps it from the bathroom. And I myself don't do it either, but it seems that the whole thing is a mistake, and what can we do? Anyway, getting back to our subject, some interesting shayas.
The food under the bed.
Again?
The food under the bed situation.
The food under a bed is osur because of Dinah Shulchan Aruch. Oh. Now, l'maisa, there are matirim over there also. First of all, the Eshel Avram writes down that the food under a bed, if it's not a bed, the shayach beit tashmish, which means not a parent's bed, a kid's bed or something like that, it's okay. And l'maisa, but kivegar on the spot says, we don't have the ruch, right? But kivegar on the Shulchan Aruch is matter. But there are machmir. There are machmirim. Shlomazam was machmir, says Nalich HaShleima. That's a machlekes. Now, getting back to our rules, we have to get done at 9, exactly on the button. We have to shave it a lady, Rosner writes, a person's allowed to take clothes. Clothes you're not going to wear anymore. You can't throw in the garbage because some people can use it. Put it outside. You put it outside, that's okay. That's a very common shayla. Now, when it comes to our original shayla of burning chametz early, so it's interesting. I found in the Haggadah of Me'adam Zman from Moshe Sternbach, I was just buying 2 days ago, where Moshe Sternbach writes that you should not burn it only the last 2 hours before Erev Pesach. As we know, Chazal Aser from the 10th hour, we can't eat chametz. From the time that it's Aser Bechila, you can burn it. Before that, since you can still eat it, it's Bal Tashchis. Now that is an amazing thing to say. I'm very shocked by that. First of all, the Velt doesn't do like that. They can get rid of chametz the whole week beforehand. Second of all, there's a Rashi that says Misochem, why do we darshan Hilchas Chag from Shleishim Yom Lefnei Chag? Because Rashi brings down, that's where it's starting to mevar chometz from 30 days before the Chag. So therefore, it seems Rashi beferish, and I said, "Tell me chometz." But also, as you write that, from 30 days before, you can burn it. Not just that, I would have assumed that even if I burn it, the guy that has the deer in Yerushalayim is burning the chometz now. There's a dinner Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Lamed Vav that if you know you're going to be around Pesach and you know you're getting there, like a London guy comes, shows up in Yerushalayim Erev Pesach, he's going to do Bedikas chometz. You're allowed to burn it now. So it's before you're allowed to get rid of the chometz earlier. It's not Baltash, you're doing a mitzvah. But I saw there's another Tana de Masayeya from the Shita, Shazat Shuvas Siach Yitzchok. He was the Rebbe of Verboy like 100 years ago. He also writes that you cannot burn chometz unless it's the last 2 hours where it's Osir Ba'anoah. And he brings an amazing Mogen Avraham, which is very not known. I spoke with the Rabbi Zimmerman last night at the Chasana, and he was very surprised. He wrote down where this is. In Tuf Lam and Vav, the Mogen Avraham says, Amar de Gazach. Why do we say Kol Chamira in Aramic? Why not in Lashon Kodesh? So Mogen Avraham brings out from the Kolboy, that says that because we're afraid to Makatrik the Sultan, they were throwing out bread. That's a Amar de Gazach. We're doing an Isser by throwing out bread. We're being Makai Mitzvah Reisa. I say in Aloysa, get rid of Chometz. Libi Omerli, it seems to me that the reason is because there are ways of doing it and not throwing it out. You could make sure before Pesach to buy less Chometz so you get it done. You could give it in Yerushalayim and give it to organization Yad Ezra. They'll use it, they'll sell it. There are ways of getting rid of it and not throwing it out. So it's a Mogen Avraham that brings down there's a Pram Chashash Bal Tashchis by burning Chometz because you're throwing out food. So it's what to think about. If you can do something to avoid baltashkes, you're mechuyev to do it, even in the case where it's a mitzvah. Now, it might just be that the reason why Moshe Sternbach is machmer, Moshe Sternbach writes a Ma'adim Zmanim, that you're not mekayim the mitzvah bir chometz until you got rid of all the chometz. If some of the chometz is left, you weren't mekayim the mitzvah. So it could be he holds that kol zman, you didn't finish doing it. You're not doing a mitzvah. So you're doing baltashkes. On the other hand, Kilas Yaakov, the sniper, comes out that, no, any, as you start being rid of chometz, you're already being mekayim the beer. If you look in the Michas Chinuch, he brings down, according to Rashi and Rambam, if you start being boy the chometz, not during Erev Pesach, so according to Rashi and Rambam, you're kaim all the mitzvahs. According to Tosfos, you weren't over the loisus of Bali Rav Vayimotza, but you weren't mekayim the say of getting rid of Erev Pesach. And this is Machlokes L'maaseh, how we're knowing. According to Moshe Sternbach, you weren't mekayim the mitzvah to get rid of all the chometz. So Kubi's looking at it, that every second you're doing it, you're still being a Baal Tashkes. Whereas according to Sniper, every second you're doing a mitzvah. So it's not a problem. So that could be the Cheshon. But a component we see that there are a lot of protim when it comes to Baal Tashkes. We don't have a Shulchan Aruch, so you have to be very careful. I'll just end off with one Yediyah. And I know that the organization is Torah. Any time that we try to use any minute to learn, so there's a Mordek Yediyah in Shari Tshuva from Beni Yoina. And he says, it's brought down in the Rishayim that if you're mefazer mois, you throw out money for things that are necessary, you have a Baal Tashkes. So he says, if you throw out your time. If you waste your time when you could be learning or doing mitzvahs, and you waste your time, and the smach brings it down also. Chavetz Chaim is a dumb writes down, we look at Shari Tshuva like a mustard sefer, but it's not. It's a poisik. And if the Chavetz Chaim builds whole halachas on that, like in Hilchos Lashon Hara, which is from Wiesenfeld, these are halachas. So that's an important thing to know. You have to utilize your time, whatever you can, for Torah and mitzvahs, and b'schus das we should zeicha, we should have no more tzoras, we should have only simchas, Mashiach shall be behavi amenu.
No question about it. Yes, I'm in the Peshrika. What I do is, I go to Hashem when I have kids in the house, which I'm married to Hashem. What I did was, any stuff. I go to this organization, they got their rules, they'll give the use it, rules, or they'll sell it. I live in Yerushalayim, it's a bit hard to find a good. The Arab that's working in the I'm a bad rap. 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 I'm a bad
Doing the magic stuff,
yeah. Done, it doesn't really serve. It wasn't me. They can't
can't be circumcised. They said you should not shave the clothes. If you have food that was eaten yesterday's chasna, you're not the one eating. So there's no shabbos. So you're not going to wear it anymore. So technically, since you're not going to wear it, you'll have to throw it out. Now, if you could get it from somebody else, so then it's better yet. I just see maybe once